CNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Positively Healthy, third Saturday edition. A warm Saturday, beautiful Saturday here in Reading. Today I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Michael Stossel from Anderson Walk-In Clinic. Happy to have him here. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Good morning, all.
And our first guest today is going to be Katie Cundy, marriage and family therapist in Reading, California.
Hello, Reading. Happy Welcome. To be here.
Welcome. And today our engineer is Rachel.
Hi, everybody.
She'll be handling our music from here on out. Thank you, Rachel. So, first of all, we are going to talk to Katie for a little while about marriage and family therapy and herself and about her and Reading and who she is and what she does and her interests. And in the second half, we're going to move on and we're going to talk a little bit about breast cancer and hear a personal story there. So let's start with Katie Cundy. Welcome.
A therapist who has to talk about themselves, that's kind of an oxymoron.
That's right, that's right.
Therapists are so used to sitting there and listening to everyone else's story. And then I'm like, well, I could come on and I could talk about a particular topic. And he's like, no, talk about yourself. I'm like, how do you do that? I'm so not used to necessarily sharing about myself. Well, what do you want to know?
Well, what I want to know is how did you end up here in Reading?
Oh, here
Tell
in Reading.
What about you?
My husband and I graduated from Chico State. We flipped a coin and we said whoever got the first job, good paying job first, we'd go where we went, and we ended up in Reading. Is that a good story?
that's a good story. What year?
Let's see. I've been here for since 1993 or 92. Yeah. So we both graduated from Chico.
You're from Reading now.
No, I'm not. I'm from Modoc County, which is up near Alturas, and also kind of the Sacramento area. I lived my younger childhood there and then moved with my mom's family to Modoc, where we have our family has a large cattle ranch. And I got to do cowgirl stuff when I was in high school living up there, and it was really great.
Fun.
From there, I went to Susanville for junior college and then on to Chico. And then to Reading. But I have a lot of family here.
Right. So it seems like you were kind of spiraling around the edges, outskirts of Reading, and then finally bullseye right in the middle.
Right in the middle of Reading. But I've always had cousins and aunts and uncles that have lived here, so it definitely feels like home. My husband's from up in Montague by Yreka, so we really were pretty happy about being here. But, you know, sometimes coming from Chico, it's hard to pull people out of Chico.
That's great, yeah.
I think over 10 years and you're from Reading.
Oh,
sure, that
okay.
offends the sensibilities of somebody.
You do until you get into one of those groups of people where everybody went to high school together, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'm an outsider, even though I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere.
True.
Yes. No, I enjoy living in Reading. I'm really involved here in the community. I'm happy about being here. Yeah.
Family,
done a lot
children?
Of things. Let's see. I have a beautiful 17-year-old daughter, Bailey, who has... also decided she wanted to live on the ranch to get some experience like that, wanted to kind of follow that. And so I sort of commute between here and Modoc where she's at going to school, and she comes this way. I also have a very active 8-year-old son who is partially how I know Dave a little bit through the whole hockey thing. He's a little hockey player.
Fantastic young man.
Yes, he is a very special young
Great
man.
Parents raise great kids.
Oh, that's good to know.
I believe that.
Thank you.
That's right.
All right, so what else you want me to tell you? A little bit about my profession, I suppose.
Yes. So tell us about your time in Chico. What got you into what
Therapy?
You do now?
Yeah. I think that, you know, that's a big topic. I suppose I'm kind of go into that in the next section. But I think that when you go into any helping field like you guys do, that you're kind of drawn to it. You don't really know exactly why you're going there, but you just sort of do.
You'll figure it out on the
way. Yeah, you figure it out on the way. And, you know, I started college with all kinds of different interests, and I thought I was going to go into communication or broadcasting, which I enjoy this kind of stuff too. Then I was going to go into law. So then I couldn't make a decision. So then I did psychology and pre-law. And then I decided motherhood sounded like a good idea, got my degree, and then put everything kind of aside for about 15 years before I went back and did my master's studies.
Yeah, well, being a mom, that's a whole different career, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the best career.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So when we come back here, can we talk a little bit about what you were doing prior to going back to become a marriage and family therapist?
Sure, we can do that. Everybody knows what I did before. Wild Iris. Yeah, we'll do it.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Redding restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Redding to find our website.
I'm here with Joe Adamson of Adamson's Peak Performance. What's going on at Adamson's?
Hi, Rachel. Summer's almost here, and you know what that means. Swimsuits, shorts, tank tops. Now's the time to get started. Virtually every client that comes to Adamson's Peak Performance wants three things. Lose fat, look better, and feel healthier. We've developed a personal training and nutrition program that accomplishes just that.
Can you tell us a little bit about this program?
Yes, it's called the New Body 180 because it's 180 days long and because it includes everything you need to make a 180-degree change in the way you look and feel.
Well, I hear you've had some really great results with this program.
We've had women lose up to 3 jean sizes in just the first 12 weeks.
To get started or for more information on the New Body 180, call Steve at 221-8006 or go online to adamsonspeakperformance.com. Get the New Body 180. Turn your life around with Adamson's Peak Performance.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes. So choose SafeLight.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
I love the colorful clothes. Welcome back to Positively Healthy, third Saturday edition. We're here with co-host Dr. Michael Stossel and Katie Cunney, marriage and family therapist. And before we went on the break, you mentioned Wild Iris. Prior to becoming a marriage and family therapist, I did not know that. I know you personally. I did not know that. So please tell us. What were you doing prior?
Everybody knows Katie from Wild Iris. No, everybody doesn't. But everybody generally knows what Wild Iris is in Redding area. It's a custom swimsuit business where we design and make swimsuits to their specifications. I don't own it anymore. I sold it about 8 years ago and decided to go back to graduate school, which is what I did because it was more of a passion for me to do my graduate work. And the business itself had physically killed me off because it was a very physical straining business on my body, sewing for many, many hours, working many, many hours, and doing a lot of the design work where I was standing. So it kind of broke my body down a little bit. But it was a great business, and it's still here in Redding. I don't know a lot about the business, but, yeah, that was my previous life for about 10 years. Yeah, it's great. Fun times.
Great local business story.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
So now Wild Iris is taking off, keeping you very busy. You sell that. And then what draws you to marriage and family therapy?
You know, I'll be really frank with you. What happened with Wild Iris is that I ended up getting cancer. And I didn't have really super bad cancer, but it was a scary experience. I had melanoma that was rather progressed, but it was I was able to have it operated on and lymph node removal, and so I didn't have to go through all the pains of, you know, radiation or anything like that. However, it was sort of like, are you doing what you really want to do in life? Is this really your passion to be sewing bathing suits for the rest of your life and continuing to have the pressure of working so much and not having something conducive with your family? And it wasn't. So getting my master's degree was something that I had wanted to do right out of college the first time, and I just was kind of scared, you know, lacked a little bit of the confidence. Is this really the right choice for me? And then, you know, with 10 years between graduating and starting my master's, it was the right thing. So I did that. I went back to National University here in Reading, which also that program wasn't available when I first moved to Reading. And very happy with the program. I mean, people kind of give those kind of educational programs a bad rap at times, but I felt extremely challenged. I feel very prepared for my profession, and the whole licensing process just kind of puts you through the rigors and the 3,000 hours of supervision that you have to take and all that. So it was a great experience.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, it seems like today's show is going to be all about realization and...
Yeah, that's your afternoon part.
Yeah, and about you know, why are you here and are you happy doing what you're doing? And it's really important to find a thing that you are passionate about.
Yeah.
And so that you can put all of your soul, or so to speak, into what you do. What do you like most about being a family therapist?
It's the connection with the people and giving people hope. You know, there was times like during even my business when it was just like, why am I doing this? And it didn't feel right. And I think that a lot of people get into those places. They fall into something that seems like the right idea. They're doing well. They're successful at it. And then, you know, they're not just completely filled. And so, I mean, I take my personal story without necessarily sharing it with my clients, but being able to hope and present hope and encouragement for people to find that place. I mean, I think there's lots of different ways of doing therapy, but that's a really important one. If people don't know why they're here or what they're doing and what the purpose is, it certainly leads to depression. I mean, it makes you question,
sure,
you know, what's this whole thing about?
Right. Do you find a lot of your patients, do they have relationship issues that where they can't communicate by themselves? Is that the issue, or is there something affecting their relationship, let's say, you know, like a bad illness, and they are either unable to come to terms with it, or each one looks at it differently? How do you interpret the cause of a lot of people's issues that way?
Well, first off, I think everybody on the face of this planet has relationship issues at one level or another.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, and the marriage and family therapist is trained to work on all issues from a relationship perspective. In fact, it's within our scope of competence and practice to not work with an individual solely based on an individual mental illness situation unless it is affecting the relationships, which in most cases that is. What is the cause of all of that? That's like the broadest question a person could possibly
ask. I left it open.
Yeah,
doors wide open.
Communication is certainly an important thing. To me, a lot of therapy really comes down to what a person's core issues or core beliefs are. So that's kind of the way that I work it. If someone walks around for their entire life feeling like they're unlovable, which is most clients that sit in your chair, you can almost always draw it back to that. That they mm-hmm. feel unlovable, inadequate. That's where really almost all issues stem from, short of chemical and biological mental illness.
Sure.
Yeah.
But when you have someone sitting there in front of you, or a couple in front of you, do you find that often they come in and they tell you this is our problem, or do you tweeze it out and then you present your interpretation of what they're telling you?
Well, you know, I think as a therapist, you really try not to put too much of yourself and your interpretation on people. You help them find their own interpretations for whatever it is. But again, finding that core belief system within each individual generally will lead you to what the communication errors are. You know, family rules or basic ideas of what life should be like. I mean, you have two people coming into being one. One comes from one, you know, part of the world and the other from another part of the world. Of course, they're going to have disagreements. So helping couples to be able to understand what those core belief systems are is essential in therapy.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. When we come back, one question I've always had is comparing and contrasting a social worker versus a marriage and family therapist. And I have to admit I'm relatively ignorant to the differences in scope and placement and where you would find one or the other or why you would visit one or the other. So can you inform us a little more about that when we come back?
I can educate you on that a little bit.
Thank you very much. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at Lazy69Ranch.com.
WE Multimedia Theater Group presents Frankie and Johnny and the Clear to Loon, directed by Wade Riggs and starring Bobette Ellis and Russell Pyatt. Frankie and Johnny is the hard-hitting but ultimately redeeming romance of a waitress and a short-order cook. A sometimes touching, sometimes hilarious love story, which proves that you never choose love. Love chooses you. Rated mature. Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune on stage at the Old City Hall Performance Center, June 22nd through 30th. Proceeds benefit the Shasta County Arts Council. Tickets available at the Enjoy Store or online at wemultimedia.com.
I'm Chuck Kinney. For 15 years, Shasta Gas Propane has been here for you. Owned and operated by my wife Judy and I, we're a family company. We sell propane, and the thing is, we're local and not a big chain. We aren't the biggest and we'll never claim to be. So what we promise is to give you the best customer service we can. Because when all is said and done, we know that's what separates us from the competition. Shasta Gas Propane. Safety, service, and savings. Give us a call at 365-3793.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday 4 to 5 right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Positively Healthy, third Saturday edition. And once again, this is Dr. David Paris, local chiropractor here in Reading. We're co-hosted today with Dr. Michael Stalzel from Anderson Walking Clinic and Katie Cundy, marriage and family therapist. Before we went on break, we were discussing comparing and contrasting marriage and family therapist versus a social worker. Okay. Can you tell me more?
And there's actually really three primary licenses within the field of psychotherapy, and that's a psychologist, social worker, and then a marriage and family therapist. And actually now in California, we will have a new license of us beginning the first of the year that is recognized throughout the United States, and that's called the Licensed Professional Counselor, LPC. Now, the LPC will be a lot like a social worker and MFT. A social worker, MFT, and an LPC, they all require a master's degree, and then generally 3,000 hours of internship under an experienced supervisor. The primary difference between a social worker and an MFT is, as I said earlier, a marriage and family therapist is trained within the theory of family dynamics and relationships. So we are trained under, and there's so many theories to, family systems, basically. But the gist is that within a family, we work within a system, and if one part of the system changes, then all parts of the system must follow in some way or another. So that theory kind of is what we use to follow our clients through any particular issue. A social worker works more within the context of the whole social system. So you'll see social workers working in much more wide variety of positions than a marriage and family therapist. Marriage and family therapists tend to primarily do therapy. They're one-on-one with clients, one-on-one with families. Whereas a social worker will be a social worker at Child Protective Services or might be run an administrative link within the hospitals. They do a much more wide variety, and they're also trained in relationship and psychotherapeutic theories. And many will be psychotherapists, but more social workers do other things in our community, case management type of things. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like you're under the umbrella of social work and you specialize in relationships.
Well, yes, except for that an MFT is not really trained in the whole social contents of case management. So although MFTs are qualified to do case management, which case management would be involved? Like if a person goes to the hospital, a social worker is often part of their services to help them get aftercare and all of the whole thing. MFTs are not usually in that context.
Right, right. It sounds like there's more need for knowledge and bureaucratic know-how in the social worker setting to get the person placed with the agencies that can help them, and a lot of that is going to deal with paperwork and connections and government agencies.
Exactly. I mean, and really when it comes down to the training, just the therapeutic training would be the same theory of therapy. But in general, the difference would be in the overall theory of what makes a human being function.
Right.
MFTs would say it's very much relationship. Mm-hmm. And a social worker would say it's social context. But honestly, do they disagree? Not very often. You know, the real big difference in terms of when you're shopping for a therapist would be a psychologist versus a social worker or an MFT. Psychologists are trained to be able to do testing, work with more severe mental illness, and that type of thing. So a psychologist has a doctorate degree. So they have a little bit more education and a more stricter internship and testing requirement.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's really the main difference.
Okay.
Now, I was discussing with you the other day, and you mentioned marriage and family therapist involvement with pain management, and that's something that's near and dear to my heart. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
Sure. When I actually, this is one of my areas that I am working to specialize in getting additional training on. Pain management from a marriage and family therapist perspective would say that a individual with pain management issues or chronic illness, it's not just the patient that is affected by that. And family therapy or individual therapy that helps with understanding what the relationship dynamics are doing to the pain management issues is how I will work with a client. So, for instance, if you have a client that has chronic illness, as in my case, I mean, and a lot of this comes from my heart. When I also had a major injury where I had to have a full hip replacement. So I've had several medical things that have happened to me. It didn't just shut down my life and change my life. It changed the life of my infant child. I had a 2-year-old at the time when I had cancer. I had a 5th grader who now no longer could have me going to every single soccer game. It changed the whole dynamics of a family. So again, like I said, an MFT is looking at a systems perspective. When one member of a family shifts or changes, it's not just them. The whole family needs to shift. So if the whole family refuses to shift, that really has a great deal of influence on the person that's dealing with the pain management. Here you're having a mother who's trying to keep up with all of her motherly responsibilities, and if the father is not supportive of the fact that she can no longer do that, you will have increased pain management issues. So one of the ways of helping a person in pain management is teaching them assertive communication. You wouldn't think that pain management necessarily would have anything to do with communication, but it so does. I mean, you guys are both, you know, working with these kind of clients, and if a person cannot say what their needs are, their pain management issues are going to go up, 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 and up. They're going to turn more to other types of pain management, you know, techniques, medication and such, and you have some real problems. So I work from pain management from that perspective. Communication, family dynamics, in addition to basic relaxation trainings and that type of thing.
Yeah, and it I understand what you're getting at, and also perhaps not just what you say, but how you say it.
Sure.
And the tone that you use, the choice of words, are you demanding versus requesting? Are you judgmental versus something where you're asking for help? Can make a huge difference in a relationship. Where one person feels like either they're being picked on or called out instead of being asked to
sure.
do something.
Yeah, definitely.
When we come back, I want to continue that conversation, and let's see if we can kind of continue that a bit, wrap it up, and then I think we're going to move on to discussing cancer, specifically breast cancer. Katie, we'd love for you to stick around if you're willing.
I'm willing.
We'll twist your rubber arm here at the break.
Okay.
This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Big Bike Weekend in KCNR 1460 presents the Rubber Side Down Safety Seminar, Tuesday, June 19th at the Holiday Inn at 6 p.m. This free seminar will help you be safe on the road. All participants are entered into a drawing for motorcycle training from the Motorcycle Institute in Red Bluff. Also get entered to win a custom paint job from Longhaired Collision Works. The Rubber Side Down Safety Seminar, Tuesday, June 19th at Holiday Inn at 6 p.m. with bike washing at 5 p.m. Brought to you by Big Bike Weekend, KCNR 1460, the Reading Motorcycle Officers Group, the Reading Police Department, and the Motorcycle Training Institute.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back on a hot, beautiful Sunday here in Redding, California. This is Dr. David Paris. I'm joined by Dr. Michael Stossel and Katie Cundy, marriage and family therapist. Thank you, Katie, for being here.
You're welcome.
And thank you for sticking around with us.
Absolutely.
We were discussing marriage and family therapists and utilizing them in chronic pain management programs. And I work for the VA, and we recently locally introduced a cognitive behavioral therapy program.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could give us the brief definition of,
of cognitive behavior.
Yeah, of that, and for our listeners, and then if there's any final thoughts on the assertiveness training, the very things you were talking about are some of the things that we use with some success there. So, I think it's fascinating how we all overlap in what we do in our patient care and.
Well, in a nutshell, I mean, this is difficult. Cognitive behavioral therapy is based on a model of therapy that basically says that the way that we think about any particular one event in our life really influences our feelings and our behavior. So, in the gist of it, we're trying to teach clients how to think more rationally about a given situation. So if you are dealing with pain management, rather it would be irrational to be able to say each day when I wake up, my life is over, it's done, I have this pain management issue, I'll never have a good family, I'll never have a good job, my life is in. And I know both of you have heard that, because I've heard it, right? It's just the giving up. So cognitive behavioral therapy models are helping individuals to change that thought, to be able to accept the reality of a particular injury, illness, or pain issue, and turn it into something that they can rationally actually deal with. What we find in pain management is that when people are under a great deal of stress, their body is under stress, and therefore any particular illness or injury is going to be greatly affected. So a great part of cognitive behavioral therapy is helping people to reduce their stress level with more rational thinking. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And if I may, it sounds as if, you know, you're kind of reading my mind a little bit, because
I can do that.
You can do that. You have the power. When you're talking about cognitive behavioral modalities and being able to deal with stress, I've actually been living exactly what you're describing recently. My wife recently has been diagnosed with breast cancer. So literally 6 weeks ago, our lives changed. And it all started with a phone call from the radiologist, and it went on from there. And our heads were spinning. Suddenly everything that we had just planned for this entire summer was up in smoke, and now we had to focus on treatment and getting the right thing done, which brings into question every decision that you're making. Then, you know, I could see in my wife exactly what you're describing, where there were waves of hopelessness, waves of anger, waves of despair, but then things changed. What she was able to do was find a place within her to go and be, that's kind of like a safe house or a safe place in her mind, where she was safe from all of these negative thoughts. And she was able to do that through some books that she was reading, kind of like along the lines of meditation. So what you're describing, and when you help your patients, is what she kind of did on her own and, with reading these books, and helping her, block out the negative and focus on the positive. And I noticed these huge changes in her in these last, especially 2 to 3 weeks, where I would, just inadvertently say, well, what if it doesn't work out? You know, because we're talking about other things, not the breast cancer thing, but what if it doesn't work out? And she turns to me and says, no, it will work out. Yeah. And suddenly I've never heard her say such things. Usually she's like, well, we'll see. Now she's like, no, I don't want to hear that. It will happen. And these are the types of changes that are really, really important when you're dealing with especially cancer, that you can't see or feel in the initial stages because of the nature of the illness. You had a first-hand experience with the melanoma. It's the same thing. You're kind of looking at this thing on your skin, and you're like, maybe I'll see it. I'll keep an eye on it. And then when you finally decide, and then you get the bad news, you get this immense crushing feeling. Like, why didn't I do more? What was I waiting for? And then you start to blame yourself. And that's probably the worst thing that you can do, and fall into this, pit of, wallowing in your emotions. You need to get out of that and be able to move on.
Well, there's such a major thing in pain management too, or chronic illness, that we forget to look at it as a major loss. I mean, when someone has grief because someone has died, we understand that grief process, the denial, the anger, the bargaining of, if I would have done this, then this would not have happened. That is so much, and it's part of the cognitive behavioral model, that's so much a part of pain management and chronic illness, is to be able to recognize that all of our behavior is within that grief model, you know, because this is a major loss.
Right.
You know, your wife is looking at, well, what does this do to my career? What does this do to my family? What happens next? You know, even just the change in your summer,
right.
I'm sure you had some great, wonderful plans.
Yeah. And if I may, I'd like to talk about this in the next segment, because, she has turned her illness, her malignancy into a new drive, and we have established a new foundation called the Love and Light Foundation, and we will be probably rolling that out pretty soon. Where we she just had surgery the other day, and we're doing all the paperwork to get federally approved and so forth, and so I'd like to talk more about that and the possibilities of helping others with cancer and breast cancer specifically in this area. And so she's become a real trooper and turning this into a positive.
So when we come back, I want to discuss that and more. I know Dr. Stossel, he has the Love and Light Foundation.
That's correct.
And Katie, you also have something near and dear to your heart, and I want you to talk about that. And I also want to see if we can move forward down in for a few minutes at least and have you give us the brief overview of her clinical kind of pathway with her cancer diagnosis, and
sure.
Then we can discuss some of the guidelines that are out there. And
that's really important.
Yeah.
That's really important, because if we don't do anything now, it's going to be cemented in with the new healthcare regulations.
So when we come back, we'll continue on. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Redding restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Redding to find our website.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Redding Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
We all know music is what gets you on the dance floor, but it's the entertainment that keeps you there. When it's time for your next party or major event, call Music by Robert, your entertainment professional. Over 25 years of quality and experience. Music by Robert. Weddings, 347-4500. Graduations, birthday parties, 347-4500. Retirement parties, anniversary parties, 347-4500. Get it. Call 347-4500 when planning your next party or special event. Music by Robert.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Positively Healthy, third Saturday edition. And before we left, we were discussing pain management, marriage and family therapy, and Dr. Stossel was telling us a personal story about his wife who was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And would you like to continue on there?
Yes, yes. Well, first I'd like to say hi, Kosh, if she is listening, and we're all rooting for you, as you well know. Well, we all have heard stories, you know, it's, people have written books and, commentaries on, physicians and, medical personnel, professionals, not really understanding the true consequences of a illness that they deal with, on the periphery as providers, but then when it becomes, your problem, your illness, your hurdle, then it puts you in a completely different light. You know, you are now in the patient's seat, and that and I had a rude awakening, quite frankly, 6 weeks ago when we got the biopsy reports, because, you know, it's the proverbial it can't be happening to me, it can't be happening to my wife, to my family, how could this be? You know, the thing is breast cancer, there are several types, but the most common type is ductal cancer. There are different stages. There's stage zero, there's stage one, where it becomes invasive, then two, three, and four, and so on. Our experience was that, it was a routine screening mammogram. She just turned 40, wanted to get it done, and so she did it, and thinking nothing of it. And in fact, the day that she got the prescription, which she asked for, she was examined on a well woman exam, and her gynecologist didn't find anything wrong. And if she didn't press it, she probably wouldn't have gotten the mammogram, because right now there's a battle brewing in the medical community about guidelines with regard to when to begin mammography screening and at what age. And so up until now, when I was in med school 14, 15 years ago, you know, we were taught, okay, well, if there's a family history, primary family history, mom, sister, aunt, then grandmother, then, you know, then you get a mammogram at age 35. It's always been recommended to do self-breast exam and well woman visits. But the big issue then is when do you start the screening? When I was in school, they would tell us at age 40. Now they're pushing it back to age 50. And to me, that is just, too little too late, because as I said, she has yearly well woman exams. She has she does self exam, and the stage zero, which she had, is not palpable. You cannot feel any pain. You don't see any changes. There aren't any lumps. The only way to diagnose it is through mammogram screening. The thing is that she's already had several mammograms, because I got her to do a mammogram at age 35, even though she didn't have a risk factor, because we could. It was available to us. She had another one at age 38, which was literally a little bit less than 2 years prior to this one, and it was normal too. And so when she had this one done and it came back positive, we were just floored. How could this be? She has no risk factors. The only thing that she has that is now turning out to be a risk factor is dense breast tissue. And in fact, there are some studies now being pushed saying that, well, dense breast tissue should be on the level of a risk factor as a primary family member with breast cancer. Well, that's all well and good, but the only way to tell whether you have breast dense tissue is to have a mammogram. So, to me, answers the whole dilemma. You have to get a screening mammogram at age 40 to determine whether you have the risk factor called dense breast tissue, so that you know that you need to get screenings either yearly or bi-yearly, depending on what else happens. Waiting until age 50, you miss the boat. You know, if we had waited 6 months or a year, then it may be that she would have felt a breast lump, and then in which case it would not be stage zero. And quite frankly, it was alarming to hear that stage zero, which she had, which is the best scenario, still resulted in a total mastectomy. We had to remove the breast, even though it was at its earliest stage. So you could only imagine what the treatment would be if we waited and it's now palpable. Now we have to face the fact that, well, now it's a battle for your life, because once it's invasive, it can get into your lymph nodes or into your bloodstream and metastasize. And now it's not just a cosmetic issue. Now it's a life or death struggle. And the treatment is not easy, because not only do you have to have mastectomy, you have to have radical node excision in the armpit area and in the arm, which creates complications for healing and infection. Then you have to consider that you may need radiation or chemotherapy, lose the hair, weight loss, all of these things. And all because you didn't get or were not advised or weren't allowed authorization for a $100 mammogram. It's absolutely absurd. And in my opinion, I believe it's unethical that these guidelines proceed the way that they're being pushed, because you're going to doom a whole generation of women steal from them their ability to screen when it is available.
Dr. Stossel, when we come back, I'm going to back up just briefly, go over exactly what guidelines we're talking about, where they came from, and give any listeners some background on where they might be able
sure.
to find them.
Sure.
And then I want to read a couple of the guideline recommendations. One that's actually a little bit shocking even to me, and being a huge fan of research and liking to follow the research clinically, as I'm sure we all do, some of these things kind of really offend our sensibilities. And so we'll come back and discuss that in a little more detail.
Great.
This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta, Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
I'm Carl Turner, a Vietnam combat veteran. In 2010, our state veterans cemetery asked me to design a monument dedicated to Vietnam veterans. The state has approved the design and donated the land. The sculpture I call Hope depicts an inbound medevac helicopter with two men running under fire, carrying a stretcher holding the wounded. This reflects the strongest memory I have of Vietnam. To fund this project, we established a dog tag plaque program. Donors have the opportunity to fund this monument by purchasing a pair of plaques dedicated to their veteran. They will be embossed with the veteran's name, branch of service, and service dates. 3,000 Vietnam veterans will become part of the monument, their names surrounding the sculpture. Check us out at Vietnam Veterans Monument Project at Facebook.com, or call me at 530-275-6385. Thanks for your support.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Welcome back to Positively Healthy, third Saturday edition. I am Dr. David Parrish. I'm joined by Dr. Michael Stossel from Anderson Walk-In Clinic and Katie Cundy, marriage and family therapist here in Redding, California. We are talking breast cancer, and I'm going to back up a little bit. Prior to going to the break, we were talking about some guidelines, and just to give a little bit of background, we have a large government healthcare agency called Health and Human Services. Underneath them, there's a group called the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, more commonly known as AHRQ. And then underneath them, there is the United States Preventive Services Task Force, most commonly seen as USPSTF. And they've been coming out with guidelines over, they've been around since about 84 or so, I believe, and they've been coming out with recommended guidelines that are generally adopted by our government into our government systems, and with the Affordable Care Act, et cetera, on the radar, these would likely be adopted and utilized in our healthcare system into the future. And in 2009, they made some recommendations, and one of the recommendations they made regarding breast cancer was biennial screening mammography for women age 50 to 74 years. And they also made a recommendation that the decision to start biennial screening mammography before the age of 50 years should be an individual one and take patient context into account, including the patient's values regarding specific benefits and harms. I think there's some issues there with how payors treat that recommendation and how they allow patients to make that individual decision and perhaps reimburse even providers in that field. Dr. Stossel?
Right. Well, it's not official yet. So, you know, it's all in this pre-finalization stage. But when you're talking about individualization, then you're going to have to prove to the payor that there is a need for it. So it can't be your opinion. It can't be your professional opinion. It can't be. It has to be something that that is tangible. You know, so risk factors come up. So they're talking about primary family members that have the cancer. That's a no brainer. We all know that. You know, feeling a lump or a pain. That we all know that. The problem is that if you wait and you feel those things, it's already too late. And so the last one that we were kind of talking about earlier, and it's becoming a big issue, is the dense breast tissue. They're saying that the dense breast tissue only seen on mammogram, determined by radiology reviewing, is as important a risk factor as someone like your mom or your sister that has breast cancer. So how do you know that? How can I prove that to the payer if I never had a mammogram before?
So let me just for a moment play devil's advocate here, because I've heard both sides of this argument. And so could you give me an estimate of what a mammogram would cost in the community out of pocket?
Probably somewhere between $75 and $100.
And we can assume maybe that insurers have negotiated a lower rate.
Oh, I'm sure. And so they're probably paying half
as they
that.
Do.
Yeah, absolutely.
With everybody. So can the argument be made that if it's important enough for an individual making a decision with their clinician, that they might be completely encouraged and expected to step outside of the guideline and actually pay out of pocket?
Well, they could do that. The problem is that there are some people that can't afford that. I mean, I have people that come to me and they say, you know, I can only get into town once a week because of gas. You know, so you know, $100 to them is a lot. And if then you're going to do that every year or every other year, you know, not everybody has that luxury.
Right. So as we're closing in on the hour here, any final thoughts on that? We only have a few minutes left, and I know this discussion is fantastic. I would love to continue it next month.
Well, I would just like to encourage all of the listeners especially the women patients listening, that don't take the mammogram screening for granted. If it is available, get it. Because, you know, you can't go through and just say, well, it's not going to happen to me, because it can happen to you. It can happen to anybody. And if you have any of the risk factors, then it's even more likely. And the best thing to do is to catch it as early as possible, because then your treatment options are, devastating as though they are still better than if you wait.
Thank you for that medical advice. Katie?
You know, the one thing I would say in terms of the therapeutic, my role in this, is that one of the things that I'm helping my clients that have pain management, chronic illness, is to advocate for themselves. The medical field is extremely difficult to manage. You're at many different doctors. You have all insurance. And people that don't have assertive enough skills and the ability to negotiate that can often use the help of a professional in being able to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with that said, just a quick thing on that point. It's absolutely important because when we started the treatment process, we started second guessing our decisions. We started saying, well, should we get a second opinion? Should we get a third opinion? Do we need to go to Cleveland Clinic? Do we need to go down to the Bay Area? And now the time is clicking, or the time is ticking away, because you know you've got literally a time bomb in you. The longer you wait, the worse it can be.
Well, and if you feel like you're forced with, if you feel like you're dealing with that issue, you know, go ahead and contact me. My name is Katie Cundy. I'm a marriage and family therapist. I deal with these issues. My number is 515-7946. That's too fast, but I'm readingtherapy.org. readingtherapy.org.
Right, and same goes for me. I'm at Anderson Medical Walk-In Clinic. We're at We're at 3082 McMurray, 365-4412. Come and talk to me.
Thank you very much. This is KCNR 1460 AM.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. Hundreds of United Nations observers no longer monitoring the violence in Syria. Conditions just too dangerous.
We stand ready to work with all parties to assist in bringing an end to the violence.
Major General Rupert Mood is head of the UN observers, the State Department calling on the Syrian regime to uphold its ceasefire commitments as the government continues to shell rebel strongholds. Voting underway in Egypt in a presidential runoff election, and many Egyptians don't like the two choices. The ex-prime minister of ousted leader Hosni Mubarak is up against a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Republican race for the White House, taking Mitt Romney through small-town America. His bus tour winding through Pennsylvania as President Obama's policies come under attack.
A couple of days ago, he was laying out what he'd do to make the economy better. And somehow what I heard from people who actually create jobs is different than what I heard from a guy who wants to hang on to his job.
The five-day tour aimed at undecided voters in...